Welcome, everybody. It's good to be here on this Buddhist path. One of the things that I found really important to be able to do is evaluate my own emotional maturity. I have to look at certain milestones or sets of characteristics, and be able to say, okay, I'm meeting those, I'm getting there, there's progress being made. And I've of course, being in community and having the monks and nuns as our teachers, we do have a strong support for growing on the path, progressing in these teachers. There's always someone to ask, how am I doing? Oh, what does it look like from out there, up there, out there? In this tradition, the monks don't do a whole lot of one-on-one interviews. It's mostly a group chat that we're involved in. So they'll have tea times, or they'll do Dhamma reflections like this, or they'll meet with people in a group. And so I've gotten really comfortable with, practicing out loud, practicing in front of people, really just moving along this path in a way that people can see what I'm doing and offer feedback, or I'll ask for it. Asking the monks for feedback around practice when there's 10 other people or 110 other people in the room, it's good. It's good to have kind of an open accountability in a way, especially in this particular tradition, because the monks have a high level of integrity and a long history of practice. And so we can, for me, I can really trust them to be seeing things clearly and to offer me feedback in a way that's kind and useful and, beneficial and from a mind of goodwill. In this tradition, we say the Buddha taught that the good actions that we do are for our benefit and the benefit of all beings. So we can keep that in mind. Ajahn Nyanko recently gave a talk about receiving criticism like a precious gift, even if you don't respect the criticizer, even if you weren't asking for it or looking for it, even if it seems kind of unfair or unwarranted, we can just take a moment, to ask, oh, was that useful? We know what's useful, or we can learn to know what's useful. Or, oh, I got a little something out of that. Maybe I didn't need the whole lesson. But even that feeling in my gut, when I got the criticism, can teach me something. Oh, I didn't like that. I didn't want to hear about that, But mostly it's an opportunity to, what we say here is take what is useful and leave the rest. So this is a really open and objective and light and lovely way to move in the world and to keep learning. Take what is useful and leave the rest. Usually we take what is useful and then criticize the rest, or dwell on the rest, or stay irritated over the rest. But we're going to get the rest from everyone until we're dead, So it's useful to learn how to take what is useful and leave the rest. But that's taking criticism and teaching and feedback from that which is outside of us. But the Buddha taught us quite a number of ways to evaluate, to self-evaluate our emotional maturity. And that really is what this practice is. It's a developing a high level of emotional maturity. That's what we're doing. We're practicing and we're learning how to respond appropriately to all conditions. That's emotional maturity, not lashing out, not sort of unnecessarily dwelling or ruminating, not kind of downward spiraling or even upward spiraling, but rather taking the conditions as they come and responding from a place of balance. A real obvious sort of bar is the development of the Brahma Viharas, so the what's referred to as the four divine abidings, the heavenly homes, of the heart. So Ajahn Sona refers to these as the c completely mature emotional states, and I find that really helpful as I attempt to move in that direction. Metta, loving kindness. So, the call, what causes metta, what brings up loving kindness is seeing what is beautiful in other people, seeing what is good, seeing what is kind or skillful. And so, to bring up loving kindness, the instruction is to look for those things. So when we're in a situation or we're with other people, looking for what is lovely, looking for what is beautiful, looking for what is beneficial, kind of bring up that sense of loving kindness for another person or for the situation in general. So, one way to evaluate our emotional maturity is whether we're looking for what ticks us off. And you might not know, but if you find a lot of it, you're probably looking for it. Right? Just have a developed habit of doing that. Or am I looking for what naturally brings up metta so I can handle the stuff that ticks me off? With compassion, compassion is being with suffering without suffering. So being with sadness, being with frustration, being with that which we don't like, being with that which is ugly or irritating or without bringing our own suffering into the picture. Doesn't mean we don't act on it. Doesn't mean we don't make the world a better place. Doesn't mean we don't respond, react to help. But an emotional mature person is coming from a place of balance, not irritation, not pushing it away, but rather, oh, I see the suffering. How can I help? Or how can I stay balanced? The problem is that, of course, sometimes suffering looks like a sad, lonely kitten on Buy Nothing Group recently. Yeah, that kitten probably wasn't suffering. I think I put all that on it. But other times, it needed me, don't you think? I did not get the kitten. But other times, Suffering looks like someone attacking us. You know, they're suffering, but I'm taking the brunt of it. So then what are, you know, so then what? Well, you know, we remind ourselves it's all suffering. It's all the same, you know. So how can I stay balanced when I see suffering and not take it personally? Now, I don't need to take the kitten home. I really did. But I don't need to lash out at the person who is suffering and lashing out at me. So again, just learning to recognize suffering and act appropriately. The third Brahma Vihara is mudita, appreciative joy. So that is seeing the goodness or the good fortune of others and delighting in it, you know, appreciating it with them, appreciating it for them, not tipping over into jealousy or tipping over into wanting what they have or tipping over into wishing I was a little more like that, but just appreciating what they bring, appreciating what they've received, appreciating the good results of their conditions. That is a hard one for some people. But, you know, for me, it was finding, and I've talked about this before ad nauseum, you know, but for me, it was finding this community and watching people kind of progress on the practice. Turns out I love that. I feel real joy with that, you know. Big gorgeous house, really nice garden, that I can get a little jealous of. That's unskillfulness, you know. Why them? Why not me? What I do wrong? How come I'm so bad with money? Whatever, you know, that's a story. But that's not what I'm invested in. I'm invested in this, you know, what we're doing here. I recognize the beauty and importance of it. And when people are really practicing and seeing the fruits of their practice, there's just true happiness. I really appreciate it. So for me, you know, getting to mudita, finding mudita was a matter of finding what really makes me happy, what is truly satisfying to me. And then equanimity. And that's balance in all four postures, you know, sitting, standing, walking, lying down, responding appropriately, taking conditions as they are, accepting what's going on, learning how to move through the world in a way that is useful, kind, patient, generous, and not getting caught up in the excitement, not getting caught up in the negativity, not, you know, drowning in other people's suffering, not becoming giddy at their bad fortune. I'll move back up Brahma Vihara, but then the near enemy of mudita is kind of is a giddiness, you know, almost a silliness. And I was like, what, you know, what's that? Is that really an enemy? What does that mean? What does that mean? And then at the Paba last year, the celebration that we have out at the Hermitage, I was so happy and excited at the end that I just ended up giving this really long rambling speech, like thanking people like I was at the Oscars or something, and then forgot some names and sort of just petered out. And I was like, oh yeah, okay. That's giddiness. That's getting wrapped up. That's bringing the self into something. You're like, oh, how's about me? How's this about me? I feel great. That's what's about me. But just settling into the conditions as they are. Yes, equanimity, and equanimity is, can be developed, but it's really, by and large, a result of the practice. And then, I was sort of thinking about this, been thinking more about this topic, because I've been in this kind of, well, some of you know, I've been in this 3-year transition toward becoming the spiritual director here. Sakula will be retiring in June. And I've relied on her for this evaluation, over the last, I mean, I've been practicing here for 20 years, but the last 3 years have been more of a more of an organized kind of process of mentorship and evaluation and, education, teaching and trying on new roles and seeing how they go, supporting the community and taking feedback around that. And what I'm realizing more and more, that as she's going to leave in June for a time. And our main advisors, Longpo Pasano and the other monastics, live in California. I get out to the Hermitage where we have some monks once a month. But really honing those skills of self-evaluation, looking within, making sure I have these bars, these standards. That I can turn to and say, how am I moving through these conditions? And one of them I was thinking for me is I was thinking about this the other day, this knowing the difference between being in trouble and getting in trouble. That gets it. And I was thinking about this more in terms of, I have kids and I've been raising them. Yeah, I've been raising them. And so they're all teenagers and preteens now. And so I've seen them at a variety of stages of their lives. And, when kids are younger, they want something. And if it's not something they should have and they get caught, then they're in trouble. If I get caught, I'm in trouble. If somebody sees me do it, I'm in trouble. I'll get in trouble. If I do this, I'll get in trouble. I would suggest that, an emotional mature person already knows when they're in trouble. They know when they're causing themselves trouble. They know when they're causing other people trouble. And if they don't know, that's a good thing to be looking for. Am I causing a problem? Am I making a problem for other people? Am I making a problem for myself? Am I bringing myself into something that doesn't need to be there? How can I let go? For me, it's living on the precepts makes things fairly black and white. Am I killing, stealing, lying? Drinking the other one. Oh, sexual misconduct. That's pretty far out of my wheelhouse at this point. In a wrong relationship, treating other people badly, cheating on my spouse, I can evaluate. I have a standard by which to evaluate. Trouble, trouble, me making a problem. And so when I feel there's a problem, when anxiety is coming up, when things don't feel right, when the body is out of balance, I can ask myself, am I making a problem? Is there a problem? Am I in trouble? One, two, three, four, five. No. So then I can come back to my conditions. What about my conditions are making me feel ill at ease? And we're bringing all kinds of things from the past, and we're planning for all kinds of things in the future. And so we don't always know the pressures that our conditions are placing upon us. But it's useful to have a standard around trouble. Am I causing trouble? Am I making a problem? And that standard is not who saw me. And that's very much, a kid thing. Like, did I get caught? Did someone see me? They have a few examples, but I don't know. You can imagine. You can imagine. What did we do? Look back at our childhoods. When did we lie to get our way? When did we take something that wasn't ours? When did we, manipulate a person in a romantic relationship? When did we sort of, push it all away, push it all aside with substances or other distractions? We weren't in trouble when we got caught. We were in trouble already. So that's kind of that's been an interesting kind of take for me these days. And then I think a last one, which might be a little harder to sort of ascertain or evaluate, is but it's really useful, especially in this framework, is when am I inserting myself? When am I making something about me when it isn't about me? When am I not taking responsibility for my own emotions? When am I not settling down to listen and learn and accept criticism or whatever as a precious gift? When is it about me and it doesn't need to be? And that's, I think, a long road. Identity view is something that we have to let go of to make real progress on the path. So letting go of, our stories about things, letting go of what the conditions mean about me, letting go of what other people's projections mean about me, spiraling upwards, spiraling downwards, getting blown around by praise and blame, gain and loss, fame and disrepute. No, I like you. I hate you. I like you. I hate you. We've all seen it, But all we can do really is go inward, learn to see when we're being skillful, when we're not being skillful, take what is useful and leave the rest. I tend to say things I need to hear as well. So we're all in the boat together. If I'm doing a guided meditation and all you hear is just calm down. Just sit still and calm down. It's me talking to me. Take what is useful and leave the rest.